Oh, I'm so happy I found so many wonderful people worshiping today here at Chapel Hill Dunwoody on spring break. The crowd looks great. We're in the presence of the Lord. Are you having a good time worshiping the King of Glory? We are so glad you're here. I want to share blessing and favor and joy. I am a blessed man and on a multiple dimensions. The Duvals really had a good week. And may I just share that? And I want you to celebrate with me. This week, my baby daughter was offered a job here in Atlanta, Georgia, and she accepted it. We're so fired up. All right. But even better than that, after my wife was gone for a month, Gayla's back. I found her. Okay. All right. And we are so thrilled to share our blessing and our joy with you. And the next few minutes, it's going to be a very healthy transference of spiritual and emotional health and spiritual foundation that can really make a difference in your life. So let's pray. Father, the enemy tries to shoot us full of holes and rip and tear our emotions in so many ways that there's repercussions, multiple dimensions. And we pray in the next few minutes that you would speak to the core need of our life. And when we get in our cars and go home, let there be a new dimension of health throughout our being because of your glory. In Jesus' name, and everyone shouted, I'm ready, I'm ready. Our key master verse for this series on, I found, is Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Where it says this, the kingdom of God is like this, and the kingdom of God is huge. The kingdom of God is like a treasure that was hidden in the field. Remember last week we told you how the ground was a secure place to bury things in ancient Israel because there was so much turnover of hostile forces, and they would take over banks, and they would take over treasuries. So people would put treasures in the ground because they didn't know if the Romans were coming. They didn't know if the Babylonians were coming. But the kingdom of God is like a man who found a treasure under the surface of the ground. And when he discovered it, he came to this conclusion. This is so valuable. This is so important. Regardless of what I have to pay to obtain this field, I've got to pay the price. And that's the big idea of this teaching series. It's this, that when you find the kingdom and you begin to examine all the dimensions of what God wants to do in your life, when you grasp the kingdom of God, nothing else in your life that would be a barrier to keeping you from having that in your world is worth it. That is the big idea. And when you start unraveling the treasure of the kingdom and you start looking at it and you say, wow, I want Jesus to be ruler of my life and king of my tomorrows and the authority of my decisions. And you start looking at that treasure, all of a sudden there's something that surprises you as you look at that treasure. Because the more you look at the treasure of Jesus, the more you see in his eyes, his treasure is you. The treasure of your heart is him. But make no mistake, his treasure is you. And when you begin to get lost in the eyes of his mercy and grace and sacrifice, in that journey into the way he treasures you, you find your identity. And wow, when you find your identity in his love, you have found it at the highest level. Now, when this treasure is in front of you, the gravest mistake you and I could ever make is to fail to stop and understand the real value of what we have. In fact, you understanding the treasure of what you have and the value of what you have on the Lord is so important. It is a particular and specific role of the Holy Spirit. We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 12. Very powerful verse. We have not received the spirit of the world, but we've received the spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit. And I want you to look at why the Holy Spirit, in part, comes to us. He comes to us so that when the treasure of the kingdom is in front of you, the Holy Spirit is like the guys wouldn't understand this, but I guarantee you, I live with three women plus a girl dog. And the women wouldn't understand. The Holy Spirit, guys, we don't get this. The girls get it. The Holy Spirit is like a shopping buddy. The Holy Spirit comes as you look at the shelves of possibilities of treasure that's waiting for you in your kingdom life. The Holy Spirit says, oh, that's good. You look good in that. You need to get that. Yeah, I've been with these girls. It's like, you know, they like it when they've got somebody say, yeah, that's. And I'm like, okay. It's already 70% off half price. Go ahead and get it, okay, you know? But the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, you really, really, really want to receive Christ as Savior. And something's going, I don't want to be one of those Christian follower people. But the Holy Spirit says, yes, you really want to take advantage of the free gift of salvation. Remember that? The Holy Spirit, he says, oh, you don't want to give up your integrity cheaply. You really want that. You want your good name. So the Holy Spirit's role is to come into your life, and you got this vast treasure. And I want to tell you, I don't care how long you've been serving God. I don't care how mature you think you are in the Lord. You don't have a clue of the vastness of the treasures of the Lord that's waiting for you as you allow the Holy Spirit says, yes, this is valuable. Oh, you want this. Don't lose that. Go for that. Reach for that. And the Holy Spirit comes to tell us and to teach us and be girls, our shopping buddy, to say, that's free. That's free. Grasp it. One of the things that the Holy Spirit really wants you to get is how secure, perfect, and complete your identity is when you really know who you are in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to tell you, life is so different when you live your life and who you are as an individual is built on the rock compared to out here trying to find yourself. Here's a fringe benefit of being a Christ follower. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, when you got saved, it says this, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Everyone say, passed away. And everything has become new. Now, in your mind and in your emotions and in your thoughts, there's this seesaw that goes on in the way that you view yourself. And you move into your career and your personality and your relationships and your worldview. There's this seesaw, and one side of it, it hurts and it tears and it pains and it produces guilt and shame. It's called your history. And then there's another side of the seesaw that is what the Holy Spirit is saying, this is free to you. This looks great to you. This is what you really are. And that is who you are as a result of the cross. So here's this two emotional, identity, pivotal, seesaw worlds you live in. Sometimes you look at yourself and you define who you are as you look into your history. Mistakes, sins, crazy choices. And then sometimes you get a little relief from that as you gather around the cross. You start looking at who he says you are because of his work on the cross. And he says you're forgiven and you're clean and you're righteous and you're justified and you're perfect and you're redeemed and you're a treasure to heaven and you're doing this sometimes. And I want to tell you, when you're here and you think your history's what's real, you're vulnerable to emotional ripping, tearing, and wounds. But when you're here, your shoulders go back, you move into the unknown, you have confidence because you're grounded on the rock, and you don't have to worry about the failures of yesterday, because that is not what is real. What is real is that the precious blood of Jesus came to wash away your sins, and that is the definition of who you are, how you carry yourself, where you're going, and what your end game is going to be. Wow. Glory to God. So I want to ask you something. What's more real? What is more real? Your past or the cross? Well, I know my past was real because I was really there. I want to tell you something. The cross was really there. And I want you to know from this preacher, servant of the Lord, who has a healthy identity and has strong EQ, emotional, and a strong emotional intelligence quotient, not because of anything I've done, but because of this reality. The cross is more real than your history. The cross is more real than your past. The cross is more real than your nightmares of yesterday. And when you say, I'm building my identity under the tutorage of the Holy Spirit because the cross has made the work and the difference in my life, then you are well on your way to a healthy, perfect, and complete identity. Watch out, world. Here you come, because you are exactly where you need to be. Now, when you are walking in that healthy, healthy identity, this is what takes place. Over in Luke chapter 15, Jesus talks about the kingdom and values. And he talks about three parables. And I want you to catch these, because we're teaching parables in this series, I found. And in Luke chapter 15, we don't have the verse up here, but it goes 1-3. It talks about a lost sheep and the 99, and how the good shepherd said, that one little sheep astray is so valuable to me, I'm going to go wherever I have to go to find that little one and bring it back. The final parable in Luke 15 is about two brothers. One who said, I'm going to try the world. I'm going to party for a while. I'm going to ignore generational blessing. And I'm going to end the prodigal. And you know the story. And maybe all of us has had a few prodigal days in our life. Maybe even as sad as the prodigal is the elder brother. And most of us in this room right now are in jeopardy of living in the ignorance of the elder brother, where he was mad because of all the rejoicing over his prodigal brother that's been gone. And he says, why don't I get a steak? Why don't I get a dance? Why don't I get a party? And the father said, you're living in complete naivety of all that I have for you here at the farm. In other words, he had the treasure of the family estate, but he wasn't allowing the Holy Spirit to teach him, you can have this, you can have this, this is yours, this is free, go ahead and take this, this looks good on you. He was missing having the Holy Spirit teach him what was freely his. So we got problems. Don't make the mistake of living close to Jesus, but as you live close to Jesus, you don't know all that you have in him. Somebody, that's good preaching. I'm going to say it again. Don't make the mistake of living close to Jesus, and you've got this vast estate of your father's treasures, and you don't even know what's there. You don't even know there's a horse here, or, you know, or all the opportunity for. Let the Holy Spirit take you on a lifetime of tutoring you of what is freely given. But I don't want to talk about parable number one nor number three. I want to focus on what a treasure you are to Jesus. It's the parable in the middle in Luke chapter 15, verse number 8. Most of us are familiar with it, but it says the kingdom of God is like this. It's like a woman who had 10 coins, and as she began to count, you know, how she was going to make it through the month, that moment, a pain hit her like you have when you can't find your keys. How many can go to that place right now? Come on, raise your hand. Raise your hand if you've had a moment when you couldn't find your... What world do you people live in? Okay, if you've never lost your keys, when you can't find your wallet. Thank you. Jason, I just appreciate your transparency. You're the only one in the house that's ever lost your wallet. Okay. But that uneasiness. Your whole world stops. I can't even move forward because I've lost a coin. Now, I want you to remember that emotion. Because in this story, guess who the lady that lost the coin is, and guess who the coin is? The lady who lost the coin is Jesus. And you are the coin. I'm almost arrested by those moments when I couldn't find my keys. And I said, I can't do anything until I find my keys. My eyes are moist right now when I think about when I had lost my wallet 2 weeks ago. And I go, I'm in trouble now. I can't even get back on the plane. And how nothing mattered at that moment except finding my wallet. And I want you to know you're a treasure to Christ. Because when you were that little lost sheep, when you were the prodigal daughter or son, or when you were the lost coin, here's the heart of the one that treasures you. I don't want to do anything. I can't go anywhere. I can't do anything until I find that coin, that son, that daughter. And when you recognize that, you began to get the picture of the story of how valuable you are to Jesus Christ. The Bible says that when she recognized that she couldn't find the coin, she went into an automatic, got to do it now. And I want you to do something right now just so you can emotionally get to it. This may not be easy. In fact, this may be hard and this may be impossible. I want you to reach and I want you to get a coin and I want you to like Jesus reached for you or the lady in the room was searching for a coin. I want you to start searching for a coin right now. Just everybody start searching for. I want you to see how much trouble it is to find a coin. All these young people saying, a coin, what is a coin? Okay, all right. So everybody start reaching. This is a spiritual exercise, and as you're trying to find a coin, you're telling me you're worth this much and you don't have a penny to your name? You know, if you got a coin, raise your hand. You got a coin. Here, darling. Here, you got a coin. Okay. All right. Here's my student pastor. Somebody give him a love offering sometime. Okay. Anybody got a coin? Anybody got an extra coin? Anybody have an extra coin? Do we have? Come on, pastor, turn around to your neighbor. Just say, do you need a coin? Raise your hand if you need a coin. You need a coin? You got a coin? Okay. Everybody got a coin? Okay. Okay, I assume everyone has got a coin. All right, you got. Gayla's got 50 euros. That's what it cost to go to the restroom where she was. So, thank God for America. Can you say praise God for America? Okay, all right. So now listen. If you don't have a coin, I want you to hold this coin for the next 15 minutes, because this coin is you. It's you. The little house was dark, had a mud floor. The bedding was brush. The coin was easily to get lost. A little circle that let a little sunlight in. And here this lady is, or Jesus is sweeping and searching. And look what she's doing. Look what Jesus did. Looking for a hint of where you are, or where the coin is. A little jingle as she turns something, just a little sound, just a little glimmer. And sometimes we ask for responses to Christ, and you think, well, I'm going to raise my hand. I'll say a little prayer. That's not a big deal. How can that make a difference? It can make a big difference. It can make a big difference, because you know what it is? When you say, I need to come clean before the Lord, or I need to go to the prayer partners and pray. You know what you're doing? You're the little coin that's saying, I want you to find me. Here, and you're just flashing a little gleam to the one hunting for you. I'm over here. I don't know how to get to you, but I'm over here. I'm dead. I'm inanimate. I am a coin. I don't even have eyes. But somehow you think I'm special, and you're reaching for me. And when you, James says, when you draw nigh to God, you become irresistible to God. He comes and he cleans the whole house until he finds you. The Bible says that when she found the little coin, she just went bananas. She started calling her friends and says, come over. I found what I was looking for. She brought over her friends, and the Bible goes on to say, when you, the little lamb, when you, the little coin, when you, the lost son or daughter, come home, all the angels in heaven above party down because the Lord's treasure is back in his hands. Put your hands together right now and act like you're an angel and celebrate everyone that's being saved in the world today. Come on, hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. But I want to tell you why I think that lady, or Jesus, when he got you, when she got the coin, was so overjoyed. You ready to go? Because that little lady and Jesus, in terms of you, understood the total journey of that coin. First of all, you was a coin, and that coin in that lady's hand was valuable to her because in the back of her mind, she knew the power of that currency. She knew where that coin had been just to be there as a legal means of energy and exchange. She rejoiced, and Jesus rejoices when you, because of where you were before you were in his hands. You see, before that coin was legal change and currency, it had a previous state. It was a piece of copper. It was a piece of silver. But it had no gleam. It had no shine. It wasn't being used in the marketplace. It wasn't being used as international currency. No, you know, it's just something hard, covered in mud and dirt. And in fact, that gold and silver in its raw form of ore might have been a stepping stone of abuse. Other people didn't know its value, and people would walk by, and that gold and that silver in its raw state was so covered with mud and mire and grit and dirt and suet that people walked by it all, and they never saw its value. They never knew its worth. But then someday, one day, somebody came down that knew the weightiness of that ore. And when the novice would pick it up, it didn't mean anything to them. But when the one who understood its value looked, it's covered in dirt and mud. I want to see what it feels like. And the one who really knows value would touch it. It could feel its penny weight. It could feel, oh, I know what that is. I know what that is. Oh, it's covered in mud. It's covered in dirt right now, but I know what's beyond the dirt and beyond the mire. Because under that dirt, there's something of worth. There's something of value. And I want you to know why the coin of your life is so valuable to Jesus. It's because he knows where you were, and he knows what he did to clean you up. Because all of us in this room, me included, have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Would you be honest with me and say, Pastor, there was a time when compromise and shame and embarrassment covered the glow of my life, and I had sin over me. But something happened. Someone found me called Jesus Christ, and he washed me not only in water, but in his precious blood, and he cleansed me, and he found value when I didn't have any value in myself. I'd been so put off. I'd been so abused. I'd lived under the foot of abuse, but he saw value in me in my raw estate. Somebody, I got to tell you, I'm so happy and healthy emotionally today. It's because when I couldn't see value in myself, King Jesus saw value in all of us. And he says, I know what I can make out of you. Look at this great verse, Colossians 2 and 13. It says, all of us were covered in the mud hole in the mining field with trespasses and sins. But God made us alive together with him. And he forgave us of all of our trespasses. Say all. Erasing the record. And this is, I want you to get just one little word in these three supplemental verses. And he erased the record that stood against us with its legal demands. This is why you ought to be emotionally healthy when you know who you are in Jesus. That in your dirt and in my sin and in your compromise and in our selfishness, we had violated and sinned against a holy God. And there was legal repercussions that we were going to have to deal with, namely being separated from his presence forever. But because Jesus saw your value, and he came from heaven and walked this earth, the earth, to die on Calvary's tree and to wash you by his blood. When he did that, he tore up all records of your past. And now he has canceled all legal indictments against you. And now you are worthy to live eternally in the presence of the living God because you were the coin that Jesus had to have. Give him praise right now. Not only was that coin valuable because of where it had been. You don't think the Lord loves you out of the sacrifice he made to have you? You don't think he's whispering to you right now, why are you letting what people said about you in junior high affect the way you're living your life now? Why are you allowing that boyfriend that treated you so carelessly form what you think about yourself right now? Don't you know I love you? I wouldn't have wore the crown of thorns. Please don't let the poverty you were raised in and the embarrassment you had over your family as a little child, and you never would invite your friends over because you didn't want your school buddies to see where you live, to keep you from living in the full dimension of what I have for you. I love you. I knew where you were yesterday, but I died and I went to Calvary so that could totally be eradicated, so you could be a healthy, complete, emotional person with a complete and perfect identity. Wow. See, that's how Christ followers live. So he knows where you were, but he saw your value there. And but you know what? Not only that, the little lady with the coin, turn the coin over in your hand. We don't know this when we have a penny or a dime or a quarter or a euro. But Jesus values you and the coin because when he holds you, when she held the coin, he knows exactly what you've been through just to be in his hand today. You are valuable to him because of what all you've gone through to be here today. Wow. What you've gone through is just not for nothing. What you've gone through is not something that is superficial. It's big. You've gone through a lot. You've been impacted by different kinds of hands of people. Some were calloused and hard, and some were tender, and some were legitimate economic building creative geniuses, and others were cons and liars, and you've seen them all. You've been through it all. And look at what this verse says. You have gone through some things for a reason. And can I tell you what that reason is? To make you tender before Him. The things you and I have gone through, and it's to so that we would say, I want to be in your hand. But I want what you want from me more than anything else. I remember when I was a young preacher, one of the great preachers in America got up and preached. And I hated what he had to say. Because I felt like, as a young man, I was committed totally to the Lord. I wasn't living in compromise. And he said, listen to me, folks. No matter how much you love the Lord, you've got to live for a season a crucified life. It won't always be this. There will be some seasons when you don't have the job you really want and you're between careers and the heat gets on you. There'll be some economic turns, 08, 07, where you get a little pinch. He didn't say that, but he said, and I says, no, don't want to accept that. Don't want to believe that. I'm going to just sell out to the Lord and live for God, and I want to be so dedicated to Jesus I don't have to go through the furnace. That's pride. Because if you think you can ever be so close to God that you can keep your own heart from getting hard, you're playing games with yourself. And I want to tell you from Jesus, I want to speak, Jesus wants you to know you've gone through some stuff. 1 Peter 1 and 6 tells us why. The stuff that you've gone through, where you are right now, rejoice there. Rejoice. Now that doesn't mean just thinking, well, I'm kind of happy. I'm doing all right. No! Because you used to be there, and now you're here, and you've gone through a lot, and God sees value in what you've gone through with that sick daughter. I want you to know something. The Bible says in the midst of you coming through all that, rejoice in the Lord. Tell Him He's great and awesome, and rejoice that you made it through it. Hallelujah. But let's look at the Word. Even for a little while, you have to suffer various trials. Say various. I love that word. It's over in Hebrews chapter 1 where it says, in sundry times or in various ways, God spoke to us through the prophets. The word various and different, and the King James is sundries. Sundries means various. Various sundries. Okay? Daily, can I tell your story? She called me a couple of weeks ago. She said, Daddy, you got to get home. I was traveling. She said, I'm reading this book against slavery and being a revolutionary, William Fort, and he's it's deep on being a real Christian. And Daddy, it's so rich. I need you. I'm not getting the concepts, but it's so good. And he was such a revolutionary and as a Christian to stop slavery in England. Then it came over to America. And so I just can't understand it. And I said, well, honey, I'll get there as soon as I can and we'll dig into it, you know. And finally, when I got home, she says, I don't need your help. I had ordered the 1734 version instead of the modern version. I was reading everything in Old English. I love you, darling. Various trials. Are you going through the word sundry? Do you remember when you were a little kid and you went, now you millennials never had this childhood pleasure. But when people my age and a little bit older were kids, we would go to the square and we'd have a dollar. But that was good enough because we went to a place called the dime store. Can somebody shout now? Come on. Oh, the dime store. It was called the sundry store because it was a variety of little bit nothing, little cheap, not, but you could spend hours with various little treasures. And you couldn't wait till next Saturday so you could go do it again and the week after that. And they, none of them were valuable. None of them really amounted to a lot, but they were all over the place. And when Jesus looks at where you are right now and the various trials, there are sundry trials compared to what God's going to do for you in the future. But he says you go through these little times for one reason, so you can get in the furnace. Look at the word. And have some heat. So the heat can make you tender. And the tenderness of you dealing with this little dime store trial. It's a dime store. Trial. Really, in light of who you are and what God has for you. And it's a dime store trial compared. That when you go through that heat, you are molded into the person God wants you to be. And that brings glory and praise and honor to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The coin was valuable because she knew where it come from, what it gone through, and what image was stamped upon its face. She took that coin. You take the coin. Take the coin. And she looked at it, and on her coin was probably Caesar. I've got George Washington on my quarter. You may have Abe Lincoln. But that coin was official, was authoritative, was legal, was now backed by a government with an army and a treasury because of one reason. The image of the ruler was engraved upon its face. And when you dare to go through the trials and say, I'm not going to get mad and bitter and hard, but you're tender and say, Lord, do your work in me. You know what happens? You take moments like that. Instead of being bitter and mad and waving your fist at God, you say, here I am, Lord. I'm yours. In that moment of surrender, the very image of Christ gets stamped a little bit on you. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 18. It doesn't happen all at once. That's why you need a little various trials and another one and a sundry one here and another one here, because it is a process. And it says all of us with unveiled faces, we look into the glory of the Lord, and the mirror is not really clear, so it's kind of shady a little bit. But every time we look at him with a tender heart and we say, you know what I've gone through, you know where I've come from, and here I am, and I'm feeling the heat right now. And look what it says. When we look to him and we have a moment in his presence, or we go on a missions trip, or we go to a small group and we hear his word, or you pay attention to get in the scripture with your teaching and preaching pastor, you have a degree. Everybody say a degree. Of the image of Jesus impressed on you. It's not like one service of ka-chunk. It's not like one trial and done. It's not like one grand worship session like we had today. Oh, I'm like the Lord. I spent 20 minutes in the presence of God. No, it's degrees. And it's degrees. Why? Maybe it's because we're so hard. Maybe It's because we're rejecting while we're going through a sundry trial, a little bitty trial. But once His image is recognizable on our lives and our personality and our motives and our careers and what we want in relationship, that's when we can hear the Holy Spirit say, yeah, that's what I was telling you from the start. You really want this. This really looks good on you. His image on your character and personality and sentence structure and motive and business plan and family framework. His image. It's been free all along. And the reason why, when you look at the treasure of the kingdom and He says, you may treasure me, but I treasure you. Because He knows how completely whole and complete you'll get to spend the rest of eternity when people see you, but they see Him. And when that happens, when you live your life that way, they see you, but they feel Him. They talk to you, but they get His flavor. Then you have discovered perfect identity of the way God always knew you could live. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. I want you to turn this coin over in your fingers. Would you do that? Turn it around. I know you don't want to, and I don't blame you. You know why you don't want to do that? Because it's dirty. You don't know who's held that penny. You don't know where it's been. You don't even want to touch. But as you turn that penny, that quarter, that dime, that euro around in your hand, Jesus says, I'm the one that can clean and make that little piece of copper or silver or metal perfectly whole. If you're here right now and you say, Pastor Danny, my identity, who I am, has some holes, some tears in it, and I know why. It's because I've allowed selfishness and sin and compromise keep me from being who God wants me to be. But today, I can't cleanse my history, my yesterday, this past week, but Jesus can, and I want Jesus to cleanse me totally and completely and wash me whiter than snow by His grace. You're here, and you've allowed gap and distance between you and the Lord, but you want that eradicated by His loving kindness. I want to count to three, and I want you to raise your hand by saying, I need the cleansing blood of Jesus today. One, two, three. Just raise your hand to heaven. Just raise your hand to heaven. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Let's pray this prayer all together. Are you ready to pray? Everybody pray this prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for seeing value in me. I give you my life. Cleanse me by your precious blood. Give me courage to allow the furnaces of life to make me tender so your image can be upon my life. I choose to follow you wholeheartedly in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's put our hands together and give it up for everyone that's prayed. Come on. Come on. Give the Lord a celebration.